Christ hath loved us and delivered himself for us, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Last week on St. Patrick's Day, and what a fine St. Patrick's Day it was, the Irish helped us to understand the Mass they loved so and for which they sacrificed so much. The Mass, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Were you to mention that to any of them over those centuries, they would have responded, little enough. All of that suffering in comparison with what an old proverb of theirs says, there is no reward like hearing God's Mass. But on this sort of slow and eventual spring morning, come with me today to the frozen north and hear about Finland's patron saint and see how cold-hearted sin is canceled out. And the importance, too, of reparation for our sins. St. Henry of Uppsala, his feast is the 19th of January, lived in the 12th century. He was an English missionary, and he was named and consecrated bishop for Sweden, but he ended up in Finland, traveling, preaching the faith there, and there he died, a martyr, at the hands of one of his own converts. It seems that this man, Lally by name, committed murder and was ordered by the bishop to perform canonical penance, as we must all of us, as part of the confession of our sins. Penance, he thought to himself, never. Well, that man had it coming, and I was more than justified. The more he thought about it, this affront to his dignity, who does that bishop think he is, his pride, the hatred he harbored, grew stronger until finally he went for his axe and committed a second murder. He killed St. Henry. Sin, so far as it is possible, destroys God. That's the summary of the subject given by St. Bernard of Clairvaux. The effects of the world's worst wickedness and only true evil, which makes us imitate the cry of Lucifer at the beginning, I will not serve. Sin is the reversal of grace. If grace is a life of God in your soul, sin is spiritual murder. It brings death. We throw out God's love. As Christ also hath loved us and hath delivered himself for us. Why did he do that? And why did we destroy it? Satisfaction of some unruly appetite, seeming relief for a moment, a little time of intense pleasure, some years perhaps of power, the illusion of lifelong luxury, getting my way about things. But pretty soon, it's all past, except for what awaits me in the future, which is hell. Is there any way, though, to mend fences? The ones we knocked over in our haste, hurrying to sin. God made us his children. Sin spurns this generosity. But remember, the disobedience of a son stings far more than ever that of an employee. If God says that we should patch up our quarrels amongst each other before offering our gifts at the altar, we have that gospel every summer, don't we, at Mass? All the more must we make up with our Maker, whose only Son hangs there, crucified above the altar. And we repair the damage done, how? By offering our gifts, by paying our debt. with the blood of Jesus Christ in sacrifice, offered to God for an odor of sweetness. Sin leaves after it a kind of stench, which you could call guilt. Where does guilt come from? People get to speculating about that sometimes, and there are people always who, in their bitterness, will blame the church. Oh, they'll say, I have guilt, you know, because I was raised a Catholic. But we Catholics know that there's more than enough guilt to go around. Catholic or not, there's plenty. If you feel guilty, you probably are. They provide for guilt by paying for counseling. We go to see the priest and receive the sacrament of penance. Guilt is sin's shadow. Don't blame the church for being able to see it there in the dark, to size up the reality of things. Sin breeds guilt, and only God can take it away. And thus, sorrow, contrition, confession. Lally, poor barbarian that he was, couldn't understand this any more than can sophisticated modern man, so totally in control of everything except himself. Lally, like Stalin in the last century, just over a short distance from Russia, held to the rule, death solves all problems. Get rid of the man, get rid of the problem, Stalin used to say. For Lally, they say he spent the rest of his life tormented by flies. And the devil, of course, is called the Lord of the Flies. And then what? Why, then death awaits. And if we die dead in sin, it is a never-dying punishment in hell. And there's only one way to get to heaven, and it is how? By death, too. I mean, the oblation and sacrifice to God, whereby Christ loved us and delivered himself up for us. It is this one death of one man for the many, represented many times a day on altars still throughout the whole world in an unbloody manner, which saves us from the death we have brought upon ourselves by our sins. And this death satisfies the divine justice. It reconstructs the relationship which we smashed by our sins. But now we're reconciled. Harmony is restored again. Order, the forgiveness of mortal sin, is secured. Venial sin is actually pardoned, the Council of Trent teaches. The remission of those sins that we commit, all of us, every day. Thus we have the daily Mass. The Mass even satisfies for what's left over after confession the temporal punishment due to our sins. And remember that one Mass heard well during life is of far more value than many offered for you after death. For modern man, as for ancient, for those sophisticated one-worlders in power today, and that sturdy barbarian in his Finnish forest clutching his axe, it's always the same. Death solves all problems. But you know, Stalin was at least half right. Christ's death does. For moderns, hounded by guilt and all of its attendant complexes, and it gets complicated sometimes, the Mass is a must. And yet, what a mess the Mass is so hard to be had today. But still, we cannot get along without giving our gift and paying our debt for an odor of sweetness. Our Lord once told St. Gertrude one Holy Week as she was singing the office, that to believe that he was offered, as one of the antiphons says, of his own free will for the salvation of the world, and then to offer this life and this death to the Father, to do it with faith, to do that is to obtain the blessed fruit of forgiveness. And our Lord here doesn't make any mention of the Mass or even any certain vocal prayer, just that of the heart in union with the Holy Sacrifice. That's the heart of our purification, our cleansing from guilt. That's the sweet chalice, Christ's blood, shared at least spiritually at the daily sacrifice. That, I think, is the importance of that prayer which the angel came to teach the children at Fatima 1 year before the Virgin herself appeared. You know that prayer, and I recommend that you know it by heart and pray it every day. Most Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I adore thee profoundly. I offer thee the most precious body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ, present in all the tabernacles throughout the world, in reparation for the outrages, sacrileges, and indifferences whereby he is offended. Through the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I beg of thee the conversion of poor sinners. If this is all you have, it is enough. But what a blessing to be at the altar, actually, as we are this morning, in contact with God by means of the Mass, offering this oblation and receiving our communion with Christ. This is what puts our poor, troubled nature, burdened with guilt, this is what puts us right with self and with God. The third end, or purpose, or reason for offering the Mass, we're going through them these Lenten Sundays, is that of atonement or reparation, to obtain the remission of our sins. If we draw near to God, penitent, he will be appeased by our offering of his Son. He'll forgive us the most heinous, that's a good vocabulary word, heinous is hateful or odious, horrible, the most heinous sins you could imagine. Think about that. Almost every prayer in the Mass, furthermore, begs for mercy. Did you ever think of that? Showing that the Mass is a real sacrifice of propitiation for our sins, either directly, for example, the Confiteor is usually said twice with its attendant prayers afterwards. And then there's the Kyrie, then there's the Agnus Dei, Miserere, have mercy on us. But actually, there's hardly a prayer to be found in the whole of your Missal which does not beg for forgiveness. Today, what you might do, if you have your Missal, and I'm sure you've come to church with your Missal, you might just follow the ordinary of the Mass and look for the mercy prayers, look for the forgiveness prayers, and you will see, and actually, this is an excellent way to follow Mass, by looking for forgiveness in every prayer, seek and ye shall find. The Father, who only looks for his Son, like the father of the prodigal son waiting on the hilltop for Jesus, who is his prodigal of love, senses the sweetness of the approaching sacrifice, which is love, which is all love. There's no anger now. There's no guilt or fear, still less some kind of a coldly calculated computation. No, there's only confidence and absolute trust. Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And bows his head and dies. Hear that cry at the consecration of today's Mass. God, from the cross at the altar, no more sees our sins. He stands ready to forgive them. If only Lolly had done a little penance and gone back to Mass, he would have been forgiven too, as will you. Sacrifice is essentially different from punishment because it is done for love. Hearts are opened at Mass, as was Christ's by the lance, but the lance is love. Hard hearts and hands are healed and helped back to the Father, who waits for them in love, for an odor of sweetness, for sin, for getting rid of it. Even today, with man so perverse and with priests so scarce, is always a matter of sacrifice, mostly the Mass. It includes reparation, which always implies love, and love is enough for the Father, who loved us and delivered himself up for us, his Son did, an oblation and a sacrifice to God for an odor of sweetness. God bless you. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.